I want to direct your attention, and may God give you attention to what is said tonight. Direct your attention to Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a wonderful gospel text. Might not appear so at first, and yet it is. It's a wonderful gospel text because it's the first gospel sermon that you find in the Bible. And it's a sermon that's preached by the Lord himself. These are the words of the Lord. And they contain the first gospel sermon. The mercy of God is seen here in this passage and indeed in these words in a very special way, because we see how quickly the Lord utters words of mercy to Adam and Eve after they have sinned. Immediately following upon the discovery of their sin and their rebellion, God speaks in kindness. God speaks in mercy. That's not man's, but that's God's way. For God is rich in mercy to poor, unworthy sinners. I want you to notice that these words were directed to the devil. God is speaking here to the devil. The devil has just tempted Eve, persuaded her to doubt God and disobey God. She in turn led her husband into disobedience. The devil's having a great time. He has introduced sin to Adam and to Eve. He has contaminated human nature. But God speaks to him. And with the words that God speaks, God brings any rejoicing that the devil may have been engaged in at that moment, he brings it to a swift end. For God says to the devil, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Bible says that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. And here we see how short was the season of pleasure that the devil had from his sinful tempting of Adam and Eve. For God told him, your days are numbered. There is going to come forth a champion who will bruise your head. And in so doing, he shall have his heel bruised. For Adam and Eve, of course, the words were welcome. There is promised to them in these words a victory over the one whose evil way has destroyed their world and destroyed their standing with God. They had become slaves to the devil, but the Lord says, I will put enmity, the very essence of war, between thee and the woman. I'm going to break up the relationship that you, devil, have with the woman. I'm going to break it up. I'm going to put a spirit of opposition in her heart toward you. I'm going to cause her and her seed to be at war with you. But that's what the words imply. That's what the words not just imply, but state. God is going to start a war between the devil and all true believers. And I want to speak about that tonight. I want to speak about the war that God has provoked. Look again at the text. Let's get it into our minds. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let's first of all observe the fact that sinners receive the devil as a friend. That's the first thing. God says, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, because at that moment there was no enmity. At that moment, the devil and Adam and Eve were united in a common bond against God. The devil is a sinner. He's a sinner from the beginning. And Adam and Eve here had both become sinners by listening to his temptation, by disobeying God. And that's how it is with every natural-born son and daughter of Adam. They are on friendly terms with the devil. They're on friendly terms with the devil. And they will ever remain on friendly terms with the devil until God does what he says he is going to do in this verse. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Until that happens, every man and every woman is on friendly terms with the devil. And so they will remain, unless God does what he refers to here in this verse. You see, man, fallen man, has a common nature with the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ said to some of those who opposed him during his earthly ministry, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Men act like the devil because they have a common nature with the devil. Men have a common nature with the devil. They have a sinful nature. If you're not saved tonight, you have a sinful nature. A nature that is the same as the devil's. Do you hear me? You have a nature that is the same as the devil's. Men write up with sensational headlines those accounts of the terrible deeds of their fellow creatures that are happening all too common in these days. We are sometimes astonished by the actions of some men and some women. And yet, if we but knew our Bibles, we would not be surprised. We hear of the most atrocious deeds done. There have been incidents of late in which killings have taken place, and they have taken place in the most dreadful of circumstances. And people hold up their hands and they say, how can others do this? How can men do this? They can do it because they have a common nature with the devil. And the fact that it is not happening all over the place is but an evidence of the restraint that God is pleased to exercise upon man. God restrains man, and he restrains the devil. Otherwise, this world would be a hell indeed. But man has a common nature with the devil. They both like darkness. Both like darkness. It is no surprising thing, you know, that many cities only come to life after dark. There are many premises, and they never open in daylight. It's after dark they do their business. It's after dark. Places of entertainment, dance halls, pubs, and businesses of this nature. They come to life, as it were, after dark. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And the devil, he's one of the rulers of darkness. He's the prince of darkness. His is the kingdom of darkness. Here's evidence, I tell you, of the common nature that one discovers existing between the devil and sinful man. Man's on friendly terms with the devil because he has a common nature. They both love darkness. What's more, a sinner will believe the devil before he believes God. He believed the devil before he believed God. Eve believed the devil rather than God. The devil came and said, hath God said, if you eat this fruit, you'll die? Is that what God has said to you? And he cast doubts in her mind about God. And when she answered him, he said, then, quite plainly, you shall not die. And he denied, he contradicted God. And Eve believed him. God had said one thing, the devil contradicted it, and said what God has stated is not true. And Eve believed the devil. And man believes the devil in preference to God every time. Every time. What if it takes men out of a gospel meeting? Despite the warnings of God! They believe the devil. The devil says you needn't worry about those warnings. You needn't be concerned. You needn't be alarmed. You have time to give thought to these on another occasion. You can apply yourself to these matters at a more suitable time. Come away home with you. Don't heed what God says tonight. I know he says, tonight, get saved. I know he says, now is the accepted feast in which you ought to repent. But don't you believe God. Believe me when I tell you, you have plenty of time. And sinners go out in rejection of God and rebellion against God because they believe the devil before God. Believe the devil before God. The sinner and the devil are on friendly terms. God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. I'll put a spirit of enmity between the both of you and split up this friendship that exists at the moment. Now, might I say something further about the friendship that exists between the sinner and the devil? That friendship continues even when the sinner finds that the devil is his enemy. Are you listening? This is an important truth. Men and women remain friendly disposed towards the devil even when they discover that he's working against them. Eve has said, in response to the Lord, in verse 13, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She knows that the devil had deceived her. She's discovered that, all right. The devil had told her a lie, but she's still on friendly terms with him. If she weren't on friendly terms with him, God would not have had to say, I will put enmity between thee. There existed no enmity between Eve and the devil, even after she discovered that he had beguiled her. I lived long enough as a sinner to know that even when I discovered that sin was hurting me, even when I discovered that it was all a lie, it didn't change my love for sin. I believed the lie again and again and again and again. I went on believing the lie. Even when I saw plainly that it was hurting me, I went on believing the lie. And the friendship between the sinner and the devil continues, even when the devil is discovered to be the enemy. Oh, men and women, here is the answer why we see those whose lives have been ruined by drink, returning to drink. Returning to drink. Those whose health has been destroyed by drink, going on drinking. Those who have been made to shed tears in consequences of the follies they have wrought under the influence of drink, going back to drink. The friendship continues. Even when we discover the devil is just seeking to destroy us, oh, how the soul is controlled by sin and by delusion. You know, such is the alliance between the devil and the sinner that only God can break it up. I'm very conscious of that, as I have said regarding the mission down here in Trillick. There's an alliance down there between sinners and the devil, as there is an alliance everywhere there are sinners. And I'm not going to be able to break it up, and neither are you. I'm not going to be able to turn sinners against the devil, and neither are you. Only God is able to do that. And God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. That's what the gospel is all about. The gospel is the means by which the eyes of men and women are opened, and they begin to recognize that they have been the dupes and the victims of the devil. Only God can do such a miracle. Paul the Apostle, was sent forth to preach the gospel. And we read in Acts 26, verse 18, and he is speaking of his calling. He tells us how he has been sent of God and what that task is that he has been sent to accomplish. Acts chapter 26 and the verse 18. The Lord sent me to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. God's going to break this alliance between the devil and sinners. God's going to break it. If you're not saved tonight, and you're one of God's people, you're one of God's elect, you're one of God's chosen ones, and I'm telling you, he's going to break this allegiance between you and the devil. He's going to do it.
How is he going to do it? Well, we're told how he's going to do it here. He's going to open your eyes.
And open your eyes to see what sin is. He's going to open your eyes to see who the devil is. He's going to open your eyes to see the road that you're traveling upon. He's going to take off the devil's blindfold. And he's going to cause you to understand where it is you're journeying downward to. He's going to turn you from darkness to light. He's going to turn you from the power of Satan unto the power of God.
This is the miracle of conversion. And it is by this means that God breaks the friendship between the devil and the sinner.
Between the sinner and the devil. And he's going to do it by his power. Nothing else can do it.
The pleadings of a mother won't do it. The pleadings of a father won't do it. The tearful exhortations by those who love you won't change your whole way of going, won't break your friendship with the devil and with sin.
Only God can do it. He's going to do it. And my, how he's going to do it. Instead of friendship, he's going to put enmity. He's going to make you an enemy of the devil. He's going to put such a spirit in your heart that you will hate the devil and be at war with him. That's what he's going to do. I might say that the greatest evidence that we have of this spirit of enmity at work is Calvary's cross. You see, God says to the devil there in our text, Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here's the climax of this enmity. Here's the culmination of this enmity.
Calvary's cross sees the spirit of opposition
reaching its height. We might say of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was indeed the personification of this enmity. He came to destroy the devil. We read in 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the devil, and he crushed the devil. How do you kill a snake? Stand on its tail? Don't try it that way. Stand in the middle of it? No, don't even try it that way. You've got to stand on its head. Crush its head. And at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bruised Satan's head. Of course, in keeping with our text, we are told his heel was bruised, and in crushing the serpent's head, the Savior's heel was wounded, bruised. On Calvary's cross, when the Savior died, his death brought defeat and destruction to the devil. He was wounded at Calvary. He was bruised at Calvary. He was chastened at Calvary. And all that he suffered there were the battle wounds as he gained the victory over the devil. Let me just say in closing, that in every true Christian, you will see this enmity at work. Every true Christian, you'll see this enmity at work. God says, I will put enmity. And where you have a person whom God has wrought within, you will find the spirit of enmity. You see, first and foremost, in every true Christian, you will have a strong desire to advance in holiness. They will be striving every day to throw off the works of the devil. They will be earnestly harnessing their energies to cease from going the ways of the devil. Paul the Apostle cried out in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There was the cry of a man engaged in an earnest struggle to cast off sin. Why was he fighting sin? Why was he engaged in such a wrestling? He who had, for a large portion of his life, been quite content with sin, why was he now wrestling against that which before he had embraced? Because God had put in his heart enmity against sin. He had put enmity against sin within his heart. He hated sin, he loathed sin, and he fought against it. That's the true mark of a true Christian. That's how you know a Christian. If you see a person who says, oh, I'm a Christian, and yet they can live with sin, then there's someone who's not really a Christian at all, no matter what they say. You get someone who's struggling against the old habits and the old ways. You see them immediately beginning to strive to turn their back upon the old sinful pursuit. There you have a true Christian, because there is within their heart this spirit of opposition to sin that God put within. This is a mark of a true Christian. Where you see a person witnessing for Christ and attempting to win others to Jesus Christ, there you have a true Christian, because there's the opposition to the devil's kingdom. Paul went out and spent his life seeking to bring others to Christ, seeking to see them delivered from darkness. If you can work alongside someone who is obviously a sinner, they're bound by sin, their language shows it, their actions show it, their whole way of living shows that they are a slave to Satan. So if you can live alongside them during your working hours and you feel no desire to give them a gospel tract, to speak a word to them about salvation, to invite them along to a gospel meeting, if you feel no inclination to see them delivered from the sinful life that they are living, then, my friend, I question whether or not you're a true Christian. Because the true Christian has within them a spirit of opposition, a spirit of enmity against the way that person is living, against the things that person is engaged in. And there is within you a compulsion to take hold of them and get them out. God put that within your heart. If you're a true Christian, you can't live alongside others who are caught and snared by the devil without desiring to see them saved. You're an enemy of the one who rules over them. You want to set them free. You want to strike against the devil by seeing them saved. You want to weaken the devil's cause by seeing them saved. That little mission that we're all engaged in is an evidence of the spirit of enmity there is within our hearts. We can't live with Trillick in the state of sin. We can't live with the people there in darkness under the rule of popery, in ignorance and superstition. We can't just ignore it. We can't say, well, we're on the way to heaven and, well, let them get on with it. No! Because God has put within our hearts a strong desire to attack the territory of the devil. See, those who are his captives, set free. Now, you're one of the devil's captives if you're not saved tonight. And We're struggling to see you. See, we want to see you born again. Some people, they come into a gospel meeting and you know, and they say, why is he so excited? Why is the preacher so excited? Remember particularly when we started way down in Lisbalaw 25 years or more ago, there were some who came into gospel meetings and they had never been in them before, and they used to say, what's he get so excited about? What's he get so excited about? You know, they never would ask that question. If they see an army patrol and there are the soldiers dashing about and diving around and down on their knees and up and juking about and running around, or they come on a fire and there are the firemen and they're all running around with hoses and ladders and breaking in doors and shouting, nobody ever says, what are they excited about? I don't know what the fire on. These soldiers, why, they're excited because they make a shot and they're taking every precaution. Why is the preacher excited? What's he worked up about? What's he stirred up about? Because God put within me a spirit of enmity against sin, against the devil. And I see that you're held by the devil. And motivated by that which God has put within me, I want to see you delivered. I want to see you saved. We can't just let you go. You might say, leave me alone. I can't leave you alone. You might say, don't you bother me anymore. I'm afraid that can't be done. I can't ignore you. I can't turn my back on you. I can't put you out of my thoughts. I can't just dismiss you. Because God has put it within my heart. As he has put it within the heart of every Christian. To fight against that which holds you. And to strive with all our power. To see you saved. And thus weaken the enemy, the devil. By plucking you from his kingdom. Here's the mark then of a true Christian. There is within them this spirit of enmity. Personally, they're seeking to throw off the power of sin in their lives. They're seeking to rescue others. They're praying against the devil's kingdom. They're saying, thy kingdom come, O God. Thy kingdom come. Last words that you find in the Bible, and they echo the sentiments of every true child of God. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Why? Because there was within John's heart a longing to see the devil destroyed and the devil's cause brought to an ignominious end. That God had done this. And every true Christian has this longing to see others saved, a longing that will cause them to pray. You see, God has started a war. He's put the spirit of war within us. We cannot make peace with the devil or with the devil's kingdom. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Is there that spirit of war within your heart? Can you look back at the moment when God changed you and those things that you were quite content with, suddenly you threw them away from you. You loathed them. You hated them. You were opposed to them. The things that you loved to indulge in, oh, now they grieved and vexed you. Because God had wrought a great change within you. He had made you an enemy of that which you had been a stout friend before. Are you born again? Are you converted tonight? I will put enmity. Has God put it in your heart? Is there any evidence of this work within you? Oh, tonight. Oh, tonight. It's time for you to pray. Lord, make me an enemy of sin. Make me an enemy of the devil. Make me an enemy of the world. Make me a friend of Christ. Come, Lord. Place within me the new nature that is at war with the devil. Give me a nature like thine, Lord. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. May you desire and long after and seek after thee this night. If you're a friend of the devil still, you'll heed him and go out of this meeting holding his hand. Oh, yes. It is said of Judas, the Lord Jesus warned him what he was going to do. Warned him clearly that you're going to betray the Son of Man, Judas. You're going to betray the Son of Man. Judas took no heed. But he went out, and when he went out, the devil entered into him. went out under the devil's power. And there was a strengthening of that allegiance between Judas and the devil that led to the betraying of Jesus. Listen, my friend, you take heed tonight. You take heed tonight. Don't put forth your hand this night and place it in the hand of the devil and be led once again into disobeying the gospel. May God have mercy on you. Or am I preaching tonight to someone who's totally unmoved by all I say? You're so enamored with sin, so enamored with the devil, what I'm saying just runs off you. It's like firing a catapult at an armored tank. It just doesn't penetrate. Is it because you're so aligned with the devil? Warnings of God's word mean nothing to you. May God help you. God have mercy on you. Your case is bad. Your state is bad. Oh, tonight, take heed to what I say. Don't believe the devil. Believe God. Heed the gospel. Call upon the Lord tonight. Cry unto him for mercy. Ask him to save you. Ask him to deliver you. Ask him to deliver you. And though you be bound by a legion of devils, Christ can set you free. May God save you.